Welcome to A Lindell's Choice, a place where we explore the art of living our best life and the challenges we face along the way. The journey is seen through the experiences of his husband, dad, coach, engineer, entrepreneur, and athlete. I'm your host, Tima Lindell. We're back for another week. Let's begin by giving a soccer update. Last weekend, we played one of our old nemesis, a team that has always just beaten us by like one goal for the last couple years. And we got the victory, 2-0. It was really good to see us play better. We're starting to learn how to play our positions better. We are getting into the other half. My defenders are pushing into the other half. And we're able to keep the ball on the other side of the field longer than we used to. And that's a good thing. That's progress. Later in the week, we scrimmaged the older team. They beat us fairly handily. And when the game was over, I asked the kids, why'd they beat us? We got opportunities. We didn't take advantage of them. We held the ball. What did they do that we didn't do? First thing they said was communication. They did a better job communicating. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's true. The second thing they said was they did a better job with their passing. And that was kind of the point I was trying to get to them. Yeah, they made better passes. But what happened when the ball got to their feet? Did it bounce away? And they're like, no, stayed with them. Like, that's why we're trying to work on passing. This is why we're trying to work on getting a good first touch. Because this is what differentiates decent teams from good teams. I was happy that the kids picked up on it. I could see light bulbs going off. Hopefully we can use that information as a source for motivation to really push us to get better. Because this team's just... sometimes motivation, sometimes focus is an issue. I'm hoping like this can help us push in and make us a better team. We were supposed to play a tournament this weekend, but it was canceled due to rain. We missed out on 3 games, which is hard for development. And I also missed out on reffing opportunities. I would have made a couple $100 this weekend. But oh well, that's life. That's nature. The nature of spring soccer, we can get rained out. It's not just a game this time, but a whole tournament. Bummer. Well, the good news is I'll get to see my son's games. He plays 2 games this weekend. I was not going to see them before, but now I will. So there is that. I also wanted to say happy 23rd birthday to M+1, my consulting company, my IT consulting company. It's also the home for 3-Sport Endurance, my triathlon coaching business, and of course, Team Lindell, which is driving this podcast. Today, I wanted to review a book that's I found important because it gave me an understanding on how we as humans think. The book is called The Chimp Paradox by Steve Peters. One of the things he does in this book is takes the complexity of the brain and simplifies it into 3 general areas. The frontal part of the brain he labels as the human part of the brain. The limbic part of the brain he labels as the chimp. And he labels the parietal as the computer. The human and chimp, the frontal and limbic systems, are different processing centers that develop independently from each other. They have different personalities. They have different agendas. They have different ways of thinking. They have different modes of operating. But they try to form connections between themselves, work together to resolve how we respond to the world around us. The computer is a reference source for both systems, the human and the chimp systems. It operates based on the programming, which is defined by both the human and chimp sides of our brain. And these 3 different parts of our brain try to work together, but frequently they conflict and struggle to gain control. Unfortunately for us, the chimp is the one who often is the strongest and often wins the battle. So let's break down these 3 parts separately. The human part of the brain is you. It is the human part of ourselves. It is our thinking part of ourselves. The human part of the brain is evidence-based, it's rational, it is the source for reasoning. It is where logic resides. It also is the part that gives us context and perspective, i.e. it allows us to look at the whole system instead of just an individual part of the system. It allows us to not see black and white, but shades of gray. It can differentiate between zeros and ones and find something in between. It can differentiate between true and false and find the area in between those two values. Our human side tries to take the information, interpret it, and try to find facts which allow us to establish what is true and what is not. It is our logical thinking, so to speak. The objectives of the human side of the brain are what we would consider humanity. The human objectives of the brain are usually centered around two areas. There's our own agenda, the agenda of ourself, the things that we're trying to accomplish, the things that we find value in, the things that we enjoy doing. And then there's a societal agenda. Humans are social creatures. We want to interact with and improve the world around us. The human's operation center is centered around concepts like honesty, compassion, our conscience. It is generally law-abiding. It is where our self-control resides. It's where our purpose resides. It's where our satisfaction comes from. Because the purpose of the human side is self-fulfillment. This is where we set our visions. This is where we make our plans and try to fulfill them. The chimp, on the other hand, is the emotional machine that we all possess. It thinks independently from the human side of us and can make decisions for us. And the decisions take the form of emotional thoughts and feelings, which can be helpful and can be very destructive at the same time. But I don't want to say it's good or bad. It's just the chimp. It is animalistic. It's our instincts. It's our feelings. It's our gut. The fact that the chimp is an emotional machine allows it to easily overwhelm the human side of the brain. I mean, think about this. Have you ever had thoughts or carried out behaviors that you really don't want to do? You know, why do you worry about stuff? Why do you say things in the heat of the moment that you later regret? Why can't you stop eating when you know you shouldn't be eating all those cookies? Why do you procrastinate? I don't want to procrastinate. I never want to procrastinate, but I find myself procrastinating. Why do we stay up late? Oh man, I can just watch another hour of the show. I don't have to get up super early in the morning. I only need 6 hours sleep. Playing a game late at night, it's midnight, 1 a.m. I don't need that sleep. I can just keep playing. The list can be almost seemingly endless of the things that we do that are irrational. The chimp helps explain this. And the chimp is a separate thinking machine that thinks and interprets events just like the human side does. But the chimp interprets the information with feelings, impressions. It uses emotions to put things together and work out what is happening and form a plan of action. The chimp works with what it believes to be the truth. The problem is the truth is based on its perceptions, its impressions. It's very quick to jump to an opinion and then search for evidence to back up an opinion. It will take the facts just so it can fit into the opinion. We twist reality to fit into our opinion. And if it's challenged, it can get very defensive. You know, you make a statement and someone challenges it, you get very defensive about it. Unlike the human part that can think in shades of gray, the chimp only thinks in blacks and whites. It can be paranoid. But that's to keep you safe. It's vigilant for danger to protect you. It can be irrational, as emotions generally can be. And it can be quick to judge and merciless in its judgments. Because you see, the chimp's objective is the perpetuation of the species. A strong sex drive is a sign of a healthy chimp. It's about self-survival. What can I do to survive It's about attracting a mate. It's about establishing territory for itself. It's about searching for food, finding shelter. The chimp is the animalistic part of ourselves. And its operation center is very simple. It's the three Fs, fight, flight, or freeze, which isn't always appropriate for modern day living. It responds to what it sees to be threats with one of these three options. You know, if you're going to a party where you don't know anybody and you shy away from everybody, stand in the corner, kind of freeze, or maybe you kind of like go and hide in the corner, flight. These are different responses to an event that's being controlled by the chimp. You know, if you're giving a speech, you get all these fluttery emotions, anxiety. This is because the chimp is concerned. It's worried. What are people going to think of me? What if it's not good? All of these things affect the ego of the chimp. And it gets very defensive and gets very worried and scared. It also has drives, very strong drives that it can use to influence behavior. Sex, dominance, food, security, parental responses, territorial responses. Again, anything that perpetuates the species, that's the whole purpose of the chimp. And it's easy to see how both the human and chimp sides can come to vastly different conclusions about the same event. You know, we're driving down the road, two lanes merges into one, the car in front of you runs up, jumps in front of you. The rational side could say, well, you know, he had to get over at some point. He chose to come up and kind of cut me off, but that's okay. He had to get over at some point. No big deal. The chimp is like threatened by this. Like, you came over and took my space. And thus it gets angry. And we get mad at the person for doing that. You know, anytime that you are doing something irrational, it's not the human side of you that's thinking, but it's the chimp that's gained control over you. And because the chimp's thinking is relatively unstable, inconsistent, it's probably suboptimal for the one to have control of the wheel. What you need to be able to do is manage the chimp so that you can regain logical control of yourself. You know, having this chimp is kind of like having a dog. When you own a dog, you're not responsible for the nature of the dog. In this case, the chimp was given to us. We didn't choose to have it. We didn't choose its characteristics. So we have to accept its nature. You know, it's a machine that serves a purpose. It ensures the next generation of human. It's our instincts. But we are responsible for managing it and keeping it well behaved. The challenge, though, is to you're living with a basically an animal that's determined to live by the laws of the jungle and use these extremely powerful drives and instincts to fulfill its own agenda. Fortunately, we have the computer side of the brain. As I noted earlier, the computer side is kind of your storage for thoughts, behaviors. It's a reference system for both the human and chimp sides. It uses the information it stores to act for them in an automatic way. Think of it like an autopilot for your car or autopilot for an airplane. You know, the computer's function runs most of our day. Any of the automatic things we do, breathing, heart, our learned behaviors, our learned beliefs, our automatic responses, our habits, all of these are things that the computer does on a day-to-day basis without us thinking. The human and chimp sides, they feed into it. They're the ones that program the computer side. Once the computer has enough information to run, it goes ahead and does its thing without needing the chimp or human parts of the brain. So when we look at the operational center for the computer, one of the most powerful things it has are these autopilots, both good and bad. On the good side, any type of positive behavior, any type of constructive beliefs, any good behaviors, any good habits, these would be our good autopilots. On the bad side, we would have just the opposite, any negative, unhelpful beliefs, unhelpful behaviors, bad behaviors. But it goes beyond that. Any type of unrealistic expectations, unhelpful expectations, These can set off the chimp because it feels threatened and needs to act out. The computer also holds our truths. What we believe to be true, right or wrong, whatever we believe is stored here. And these truths are defined by a combination of the human side and the chimp side. Our values, what we believe life is all about. Our mindset, how do we see ourselves? How do we see others? How do we see the world? All of that is stored in our computer and defined by both the human and chimp side of our brains. So what we need to do with our human side is to do a better job programming the computer. We want to try to identify the bad routines and replace them with better ones. Identify the right truths and values for us to believe. Establishing our mindset. For me, this is where Stoicism proves useful. The Stoics saw this dichotomy of rational versus animalistic parts of humans. Stoicism came out of this. We are better than animals because we have a rational brain. And the rational side needs to control what we do. They may not have understood the science behind it. They may not have understood the different parts of the brain, but they identified these two parts within the human person. Or at least they identified the rational part of the separate and above the animalistic part of in humans. They identified the rational side as the path to fulfillment, to being who we were meant to be. They also saw the animalistic side as a hindrance to reaching that fulfillment. And they provided techniques that were meant to help with the reprogramming of our computer. When we talk about controlling what you control, things outside of your control in the Stoic world are not good and bad, they're indifferent. By changing how we view things that are outside of our control, we change our expectations. We set expectations that don't offend the chimp, that don't send the chimp into acting. For the Stoic, we want to be challenged. We want to have stresses because that allows the chimp to become okay with these challenges. Because we've already handled them before, we can handle them in the future. Much like we train as an athlete for an event, we're doing the same thing here. We have to provide stresses for ourselves, training, so that we can handle it better in the future. In Stoicism, you want to think about worst-case scenarios and what you would do to handle them. This allows your chimp to realize that maybe you can handle these challenges. We don't have to get anxious. We don't have to freak out. We don't have to be fearful. The Stoic focus on virtue helps us develop more fruitful truths. Better values, a better mindset for how we reach the world, allowing us to live a fulfilling life without the chimp stomping all over everything. Because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to manage the chimp. Only then can we reach the goals that we set for ourselves. If you've enjoyed this episode, tell a friend about us. If you haven't already, subscribe to get future content. And as always, have a great day if you want to.